Now move to Ramsey in the rain, not in the sunshine as they would always claim it to be. I'm standing just at the end of the market square on the corner of the harbour. I suppose what we should start with is the fact that the market square and the site of the church, St Paul's Church, and the area beyond was part of the lock. This was all water originally, and then of course on the other side in a sense stretched through with the Murrick. The river came down and turned left and went out through where the Murrick is now. And on this side you had the lock along to Lock House, which is at the old Market Cross, which is quite a bit further back from where we are. And this section of it, this end of it, wasn't filled in until perhaps 1800 or so. The church itself is about 1820, but the detail of that is elsewhere. And of course much of the detail of Ramsey development as a whole is in Constance Ratcliffe's book, or books, should we say, both of them. The few early buildings surviving now really are in the little group between us and the seafront, in the little bits in round the back of the Catholic Church, one or two early buildings there. But the other thing with Ramsey, and particularly this area we are in, which is relatively noisy, is because it is now the only alternative to Douglas as a proper working trading harbour. You get a few ships coming into Peel, but not very many, and certainly not in the way that they are using Ramsey now, with Meseron trading in and out with their river boat, Silver River, in and the Greba River in at the moment, and stacking the goods and that on the harbour side.
But still a few fishing boats.
Yes, yeah, so say coming round from that, we're onto fishing boats, and they're still operating here as well. Manx registered boats, a few of them. And then running in after that, it was a lot of quite nice pleasure craft, including at the moment one very large catamaran. But quite a grouping of buildings. But on the side of the harbour, a series mixture of commercial properties, such as the hotels, the pubs and so on, odd shops, buildings which have been houses, some of them quite nice, other buildings which are now perhaps offices or shops or whatever, but which obviously from their design have been warehouses. So there's a whole series of those running up, and then backing through the lot, the rear of the Mitre Hotel, which is perhaps one of the earlier hotels still in use on the island.
What date was that, Mitre?
I'm not sure what its starting date is, but certainly by the 1850s it was in full flight and was offering you a choice of fresh water or salt water baths. Quite good for its time.
Yeah.
But it's a very mixed development really, isn't it, along the harbour side here. All sorts and shapes and sizes of buildings. But I suppose part of the problem is that a lot of Parliament Street, which of course more or less backs onto this, is relatively late in development. That's not anything like as early as we tend to think, although at this end of it, just immediately behind us, as it were, from here across behind the properties, you've got the courthouse and police station, which is relatively early. That's sort of 1790s. We're back to George Stewart again with that one for its design. So that was a very nice piece of design, but the rest developing running in from there is much later. The old town is the bit that's now gone, the bit that is really covered by the precinct and King's Court, King's Reach, or King's Court, Queen's Court, and all that lot. They're all really where the old town was, which was demolished at the instigation of the commissioners, and all the old road pattern, the tiny little roads and little properties all disappeared. But harbour-wise, on the other side, where it's open, very little on that side, and you're running back then onto the Moorick Promenade and the end of the boarding houses. But it's only within the last few years that the gaps in the terraces of boarding houses have been filled in, and that only came about with this modern phase of development. What really had happened was that development over there had started really following on from Douglas, the Douglas Promenade, the 1870s, and up here perhaps 10 years or so on from that, and following the railway as well, 1870s. But it never really took off because there was no easy access. And by the time that the easy access was provided with the swing bridge, then the impetus for development had already ceased. Yeah. So it got left very gapped.
It's a strange promenade.
It's detached from the town in many ways. You haven't got that same sort of promenade on this side where the town actually is, because it had developed with the old houses, the little tiny buildings coming right down to it, which, as we said, disappeared a few years ago. But the shingle bank that the swing bridge is more or less situated on, that was there before the bridge. It hasn't grown up round it. And there is at least one story associated with that, because beyond the swing bridge, which we'll be looking at later, is the shipyard. There was a ship, German ship, coming into the shipyard for repairs, and it ran onto the shingle bank. Didn't do a great deal of damage, but it got stuck, and the men on board it were, as it were, billeted in the town. Three young men in one house, didn't like the food they were being provided, went on board, raided the galley, took the ingredients home to make some sauerkraut or something, which they made, and all three died from poisoning.
Oh my gosh.
And they'd picked up a jar of poison on the way and killed themselves. And their grave is in Mackled Churchyard, quite close to Hawkane's grave. And it's quite interesting, you've got these three German names on it, quite young men, one in his teens, the other two both perhaps in their 20s, early 20s. But it's carved on both sides, a straightforward inscription on the one side, and then on the back of it, an angel with a laurel wreath in a panel, and a biblical quotation lettered in the sort of German Gothic script, but with an English translation, just to help out the unwary.
What was that? Was that?
I can't remember the date. Probably 1870s, but I'm not sure. Certainly prior to the bridge, and after the shipyard was in good fettle. Some quite fancy buildings as we go up the West Quay at Bridge Street, East Street, quite fancy with its mouldings on it. And then running on up the harbour, still quite a good range of warehousing. One or two nice little houses tucked in amongst it. But the rather raw stone warehouses, particularly sort of Corlett-Sons and Cowley's, and that. But all the way where, as we've been sort of walking from the corner of the Market Square now up past the bridge, not quite the whole of that distance, but just to the really towards the back of the Mitre Hotel, the steam railway ran along the harbour side so that you could straight on or offload from the boats. And I suppose really that came out of the fact that the Manx Northern Railway was constructed with the view of transporting the materials from the Foxdale mines for shipment, and because of the competition, as it were, between Douglas and Ramsay, it came through to Ramsay,
so and it was
yes, and crossed the Isle of Man Railway at St John's, and then interconnected with it. And of course, later when it got into the Manx Northern Railway, got into trouble with because of the way the tariffs and so on were set up for the mines, it sold out and was purchased and amalgamated into one unit. Now, straight opposite the farmer's combine. That's a rather peculiar building, made so that you can go through, and it's got shops and so on the bottom floors. Quite a strange building. It may well have been a couple of houses altered and opened up on the ground floor and pushed through. That's really, I suppose, what it looks like, a small terrace with the end piece perhaps custom built to accommodate the shop, with a large-ish store over the top. But then swinging round onto the harbour itself, you've got the area running out towards the Moorick, the little tributary off the harbour, with now much used by the smaller pleasure craft, and the area alongside that, which is now on the corner site, is the gasworks. That, of course, was the site of the salt works. That's where the brine from up at Ballaghenny was pumped to, and where that was evaporated and turned into block salt, coarse salt, and used for cooking and the like. So you had all the chimneys and everything else on there, and just
on this corner.
Yes, well, back from the corner, it's more on towards the road, North Shore Road, in that area. And then next to that, the shipyard, its slipways, now restricted again to repair, but which in the 60s and 70s anyway was producing small boats again, having of course had a long very fine history of shipbuilding, with the Euterpe, now the Star of India, and ships like the Ramsay, one of the first ships specifically designed as an oil tanker, but that was a sailing ship rather than a steamship, and to provide the venting and so on for the tanks, they used hollow masts, so you just used the mast to vent it. But iron hulled, although she never, it's doubtful if she ever sailed as an oil tanker, she was altered to the emigrant trade and had windows cut in the ports, cut in the side. And then a small area with more commercial buildings, and also a small terrace of sort of industrial housing running back between the harbour and North Shore Road, and then right up to the top end with its three arched bridge, which appears to be one of the sort of 1790s group of road bridges. And then coming back down again, down the harbour, as we said before, with the warehousing and with the mart and so on at the top end, and with all its sort of cattle sheds and open pens and so on.
Where Whereabouts were you looking?
Right at the top end, tucked in behind. You've now got the bank building right up on the corner, which was designed as a drive-in bank.
Really?
You had a loop road and you could drive in and you could use the cash machines and so on. It was the first of its type on the island, but it never really worked in that way, unfortunately. Yeah. And sort of now got more modified back onto a sort of more standard pattern.
So how long has the mart been where it is now?
That, I don't know, but Crystal Brothers, who were the origins of it, they were functioning certainly by just after 1850,
right. And
probably earlier than that.
It's quite nice that you've got the sort of proximity of the harbour, the land.
Yes, you've got everything sort of coming in together in this area. Well, of course, Corlett Sons and Cowleys were specifically seed merchants and agricultural merchants. So again, you've got them bringing in the stuff which is needed for the use on the land. Machinery, seeds, fertilisers, all the stuff that the farming community would want. So yes, on this part of Ramsey, and to some extent at times in the past at Douglas, you've got the land and the sea coming together.
The farmers' combine nice as well.
Yes, the fact that they're there as well, yes.
Still making a living out of it.
And then you keep getting the glimpses through the side streets into Parliament Street and the sort of main shopping and professional area of the town, and living almost back to back with each other. You call it Sons and Cowleys now being as much coal merchants as anything else, bringing in coal. Got one of the older vintage ships, the Master Frank, looking very smart these days. Well, it's new woodwork on it. Looking very smart, isn't it? Ramsey Harbour always used to have a lot of swans, and there are still swans about. But these days it seems to have acquired a vast number of geese as well. There were sort of just one or two had arrived originally, but now they seem to be almost taking over. Looking in the harbour, three young birds, I think those are actually swans. This is mother ahead of them, just disappearing behind the other boats here. But looking on the far bank, what have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You must have nearly 30 geese there, and another group of 3 or 4 a bit further up, and a small group of about half a dozen duck as well. So the harbours seem to have got repopulated in all sorts of ways in recent years.
Really, that's sort of industrial kind of...
Yes, the far side is industrial, but then that's to a large extent what it was.
It's always, perhaps
slightly different now. We've got a joinery manufacturing outfit there and a little group of industrial buildings. We've got the gas works still beyond it. Very much a working harbour right throughout.
Probably one of the busiest we've seen, really, just going around.
Yes, almost more so than Douglas in many ways. And Douglas is now much more genteel around the harbour area. Ramsey is still very sort of open and honest on the face of it, isn't it? Yeah. Castletown has virtually, since the demise of the run agency has lost its real working power. Just very occasionally, in more recent times, it had been used to take out scrap metal, but even that, I think, seems to have ceased now from the plant at Balfane. Peel, you do get that small amount of use still on the outer harbour, and also you get oil coming in for both the power station and for Total. But so it really leaves Douglas as the main working harbour, but since most things are now containerised, it's a very different thing altogether. The only really open shipping is with Mezeron and the odd one or two small boats that do occasionally come in at Douglas, or perhaps the coal in Douglas. That's one thing when we were there wasn't any sign of, but it does still
come in
the open boats, yes.
And is it manure they bring in as well? The fertiliser that they have in a big white sacks.
A lot of those are actually building materials, fertilizer and building materials, but of course here at Ramsey they've become specialized in bringing in the building materials, the cement, and you've got the two big cement silos down at the bottom which are part of the Mezeron operation.
That big black thing?
The black things with behind the crane as we stand and look at it, those are our silos. I think exclusively for cement, those. Whereas other places, silos would be perhaps being used as grain stores.
We have cement, yeah.
But cement at one time was all brought in the paper bags. It was all bagged, and then the bags were transported loose, then later they were palleted, and now, as I say, it comes in bulk. And straight into the silos. J.G. Kelly's building contractors moved on to the quayside. Corkill and Callow funeral service. Got a bit of everything.
Yeah,
still quite a lot of Manx names, although that doesn't necessarily figure that they are still Manx operated.
Itself.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that almost certainly is later. You've got one or two buildings up along the roadway going out along Baring Road that are earlier, and of course just up that road you had the mill. You had a windmill up there, which was a flour mill, but there was also a sawmill there as well. Skip higher, yeah, down in this area. See where the building has been demolished, part of it alongside it, yes. And another piece missing just opposite to us, and one there as well. You're in through then into the mart, and this is part of the mart buildings and so on. Yes. Yes.
Such nice stonework, really, over that one.
Well, you're looking at this very dark stone with the contrast of the red brick around the windows. The stone, the very dark stone, most of that is probably Sulby. That's probably Gobervolia stone. And the brick looks as if it's the Ballacori brick, which is from just out of town to the north, out about halfway to Andreas. And there was the brickworks, quite a big brickworks there, which has now disappeared. But the Sulby, the Gobervolia stone, is quite marked although some of it may be from a bit closer along by the hairpin, there was another quarry there. But the very black stone which you tend to get round the north, most of that is gabbro-volute. You see it particularly in Sulby itself, of course, and also when it started to get carried, when transport improved, you get it out at Andreas and the like. But this whole area really of Ramsey, this bottom part, is unfortunately tidal. Even where we're walking along the harbour side, the tide here gets right up to lip just onto the edge of the walkway. But it flows through the ground underneath the town. There's a gravel layer under the town. And with that sort of ebb and flow of the tide through that gravel layer, it moves slightly and it allows the buildings to settle. And regrettably, they don't settle evenly, they settle in proportion to the loading. So if you've got heavily loaded external walls, they will settle rather quicker than the lightly loaded internal walls. And you can go into some of these properties and climb up the hill to the middle of the floor. You know, you've got perhaps a 6-inch rise. And I've seen some buildings just outside the town where they have, over the course of the years, literally knocked out two complete courses of brickwork under the floors on the sleeper walls to drop them back to get them level. A bit disconcerting.
Yeah, you want to buy a house?
Well, it is a problem. Former warehouse building on the end of Christian Street, which has a date of 1869 on it. Now, very nicely converted.
I tucked in all over the place.
Oh yes, tucked in at the back, yes. Oh yeah, the whole of this part has been very much the working area. Because it served the whole of the north. And of course the other thing that you perhaps have to remember harbour-wise up here too, is that you have got an outer harbour, which we haven't really looked at, which is less tidally affected, but you have also got the Queen's Pier, which isn't tidal at the end, and which was being used by the steam packet up until relatively recently, certainly into the 70s, when they were on their way through to Ardrossan and Belfast. You would pick up and set down there, as well as, you know, you'd come from Douglas and call in there. I've done that going across to Belfast in the past. But the steam packet also had a regular service from the outer part of Ramsey Harbour in days gone by. And of course the Ellen Vannon sailed from Ramsey, which wasn't anything unusual that she was sailing from there. It was just part of the regular pattern. So the biggest, the best known of the merchant naval disasters of Manx history actually has very strong links with Ramsey Harbour. One building which we haven't really spoken about is the big green building towards the inner end of the harbour, up towards the bridge, with the slip in front of it.
Yeah.
And that was used for a long time by the air sea rescue launchers of the Air Force. Because with the bombing range off Jerby, they had need to have service here, and that was where they were based, and that was their maintenance depot and everything else, and they were based there. But of course during the war years there were SE rescue launches all over the place, including Douglas Harbour, yeah, as we were sort of discussing when we were there. But here, they, whilst they serviced them at this end, you couldn't keep them in here when they were on duty. They would have to be moved out, otherwise they would have had the same problems. Right.
Yep.
We have now moved to Laxey. Still in the rain, although not quite as bad as it was when we started at Ramsey. Looking at the inner stretch of the harbour, full of pleasure craft of one sort or another, an odd one or two that might actually do a bit of fishing, but not much else. Certainly, Laxey is now closed as a commercial harbour, although that was how it started out life and what its function really was. For many years, of course, its main function was to do with the mines. And the mining company had its own horse-drawn tramway coming down the Glen Road and then taking a fairly wide swing over the bridge and then coming on down the harbour side, down Tent Road, and running down to where we are standing really, which is at the junction of Tent Road and the promenade area. And at this particular point, the part of the promenade, perhaps a little bit more than the part which is now enclosed within the white line as a parking area, that was walled off, and that was what was known as the jackyard for storing the blackjack, which was the zinc blend, the zinc ore coming from the mines, and that was both brought down and shipped out loose. And there was a small weighbridge and weighhouse incorporated into the setup, and that was all measured out and done there. And then beyond that, just along the promenade and backing onto the grassed area, there is the building which is now the little cafe area, and has got some quite fancy arches incorporated into the front of it. That was the lead store, and the lead was all shipped out bagged, and that was brought down and put in there waiting to go out. Now in the later stages of the mines, the harbour was perhaps much as we see it now. It had grown in a few stages, the quayside area where we are and the pier stretching out straight from that were the first part, and later the breakwater was constructed. And the bit of quay that we were talking about along Tent Road, that originally at least was known as Rose Quay from Richard Rowe, the mine's captain. And Rowe was also responsible for building the warehouse building, which is now the pipe factory. It is almost the twin of the other building that he was responsible for in the village up at the top end, which is now the flour mill. And the two buildings are very similar in design. But this one initially was a warehouse, fairly general warehouse, and then later into this century was the Erskine clothing factory, and then much more recently became the pipe factory. It's had a fairly checkered history as well, but a very nice substantial building, although damaged on a few occasions by fire, and reconstructed. But the area running down round about 1830 to even 1850 was very little developed, and this was the area where the Laxey Fair was held, and it was all sort of tented stalls and booths, which is where Tent Road came from. Yes, from. So that came out of that. And there is a very nice picture of the area with all the booths and stalls and whatever on it. But down here again, as we were sort of talking at Ramsey, you get a quite nice mix of sort of agriculture and commerce and the harbour facilities all rolling in together. Because going on to the other side, you get the road which is now known as Backshore Road by the rather more punctilious residents, whereas it always used to be known as Pig Street. And they don't seem to like that name these days. But, pigs were kept there and roamed around the area quite freely. But you have all sorts of little things tucked in. The building, which more recently has been the Salvation Army Hall, was the original Primitive Methodist Chapel for the area, for Laxey, and that's down in this area. The Wesleyan Methodist Chapel is up along Glen Road, but when that was being rebuilt just after 1850, the mines company loaned them the use of the lead store, and they held their services and special meetings sat on the sacks of lead ore.
You were saying about the boats when they came in to take the lead and zinc.
Yes, I was saying that Richard Rowe was one of those who was responsible for the quay. And there obviously had been some earlier harbour works here, because just at the time when they were arguing about building the sort of present quay arrangement, there was a storm and that swept the area clear. And they found the foundations of an earlier harbour wall, so they claimed, when it was stripped. But again, the pressure was on, because up until then, the ore had been shipped out off the beach. And again, one of the early pictures shows the piles of lead stacked on the beach, ready to be loaded onto the boats. And they must have only been very small boats, brought in and just beached and then loaded over the side. And that was fine as long as you had the normal prevailing wind, which was offshore. But as soon as it turned, and if you got a long period of onshore wind, then you were in difficulty and you just couldn't get your boats back out to sea. And there were several boats wrecked before they could get them back off the beach again. So that was, as I say, was all part and parcel of what was going on. In the later stages, the mining company set up its own subsidiary, which initially had two boats, two small steamboats, and they plied to and fro from Laxey. But this was part of an interconnected setup of companies, which it's sometimes very difficult to unravel, but at least in this case, the accounts for those were included with the accounts for the main company, so you can see a little bit of what was going on. Two, three other stories of things which happened with the harbour here. One was that when the Snaefell Mountain Railway was being built in 1895, the Caledonia was brought in to here on ship from Ramsey and then landed onto the quayside here, and then taken up along the Glen Road by moving lengths of rail on sleepers forward of the one, so they were just moving the rail round it, and they took that up. And about the same time, perhaps just a fraction later, the boiler which had been intended for the Ballonite works at Port Cornet became redundant there, because that was never completed, and that was instead installed up at the Snaefell mine, and that was, I am told, towed into Laxey Harbour by a tug or some such, and then dragged on trucks right up through the village and up the very rough road up to the mines. And the third one was the axle for the Laxey wheel.
Yeah.
which came in at a time when the harbour facilities here had not been improved, and that was brought in as deck cargo on the ship, coming in at high tide and just rolling it over the side at high tide into the sea. And then the men came down with the ropes and rollers, attached the ropes to it and put the rollers under it and dragged it up off the beach, up the Glen Road and right the way up. And the story goes that as they went up Captain's Hill, the hill up the side of the back of the railway station, up past the mines captain's house, that with 100 men dragging on the rope broke. And 99 men fell down and the 100th was sacked on the spot. So, make what you will, that's one of the stories that are associated with the mines around the village. But it, at least they do give some indication of the way that the harbour facility worked and what was going on here.
Well, it's quite useful for the mines, I suppose.
Well, it was really the mines that developed it. I mean, prior to the mines setting up, it had been more or less purely a little fishing harbour with very little else. And of course, the village itself really didn't exist. But at that time, the road had come straight down the hillside, not even where it comes down now from Fairy Cottage, but from further back, because it was the top road at Croyter Quill. And then it cut across the main road out near South Cape, and then came straight down the hillside and through a ford initially at the bottom where the bridge is, and then straight up the other hillside, up Breeze Hill, as it's sometimes called, up to Abbey Cottage or Abbey Villa, and then straight on up again to the right angle bend on the Balaric Road, and then of course on over the Balaric Road. And then when the phase of bridge building was done that we were talking about at Ramsey, the Laxey Bridge was one of those in the 1790s again. And at that time, the road from Ballabeg, Ballacannel, was constructed down Pinfold Hill and on down Old Laxey Hill to the bridge at the bottom, and then Minorca Hill, and the road that now runs through the middle of Kingorry's grave, all of that was constructed up to that right-angled bend where it joined the old road again.
So why is Minorca Hill Minorca Hill?
From the Battle of Minorca and so on that were going on at that sort of time. And then later in the 1850s, just at the time when the Laxey Wheel was being constructed, the other road was constructed, what is now Laxey New Road, still the new road, and the big bridge, and the viaduct bridge at the head of the washing floors, and the Ramsey Road, and the road right out through Bulgham. All of that was constructed at that period. And according to the old accounts, the first time that most people used that new road, and particularly the bridge, was to come out for the opening ceremony of the wheel in 1854.
Oh, right.
So it ties it in quite nicely with other things that were going on. But all of that ties in with the fact that they were centering just on the top end of the harbour. All of those road networks came through that one point where the bridge is, which is literally the top of the harbour.
So there was really nothing sort of down at the side?
Well, the promenade here at Laxey again is a sort of 1930s construction. It's quite late.
Yeah.
So this was all really just running up a little roadway along the top edge of the beach and the odd house, but nothing much more, little cottages and very little else. But I mean, you can see, you know, as you stand on that sort of area, you can see the roadway pattern running behind it and how they came through, and then the sort of fairly steep cliff line running back from it. But the explosives for the mines, everything, were all brought in here and then shipped out.
Taken. Private harbour, really,
it was very much. It was basically for them. But then again, in the later stages, the last sort of main commercial use of the harbour here was for the flour mill. And for a long time, the only bigger boats, weren't very big, but bigger boats that came in, were the grain boats, bringing the grain in for the flour mill.
Was that 19th century or...?
Oh, that's right down until, I think when that would be, probably 1970s.
It only stopped,
well, the woolen mill, the amount of materials are relatively small, but that was handling. But of course the grain, they were bringing in a boatload at a time. And you had special lorries, or specially adapted lorries with higher sides, so you could get the grain into them. And they used a portable auger to offload, and you just pushed the auger down into the grain hold, started the motor, and of course the screw auger brought it up and just spilled it out and into the lorry. And then it was taken up and tipped into the auger system for the silo at the mill. And you had a fleet of lorries just up and down the roadway. But of course, we were saying about the materials going out for the mines, I mean, that in itself generated a trade pattern, because they were going to specific areas, especially the sort of Dee estuary, where most of the lead went, and Flintshire and the sort of Chester-type area, the inner Dee, or to Swansea, which is where most of the zinc went. But because you wouldn't have ships coming back empty, they were bringing back goods, and just as we were hearing at Port St Mary about them bringing soil back from Ireland when they were taking stuff out to there, here they were bringing back pottery, building materials, particularly the Buckley ware, Buckley ridge tiles. Many of the ridge tiles on the roofs, the brindle coloured ones, they're mainly Buckley. And also Flintshire Premier bricks, which are the yellow bricks. And at one time, most of the houses in the village had yellow brick trim around the chimney stacks. But again, in more recent times, because of the troubles with damp going down through the stacks, people have rendered over them. Yeah. And now you don't see that. But there are still one or two that you can see, and still one or two yellow brick houses in the village. But that's where they came from.